All right. Oh, wow. Good morning, everyone. It's a light morning. It's probably because it's nice out. Everybody's run off to whatever they're going to do. In spite of that, I see lots of people coming in. Let's welcome them with worship in spirit and in truth. And just want to pray for the, I'm going to pray for the music team as well as all of us as we're going to talk about today how the Holy Spirit can use ordinary people. So let's get excited about that. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, you'd set the tone in our hearts about worshiping you, whether many or few. We can sing together in unity. We can be surrounded by your Holy Spirit. We can be excited about what you're doing in our lives, what we see happening in other people's lives. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk with you today and this week, that we would be changed by what is sung today, by what is spoken today, that you would enter into our lives. Whatever happens around us, we would place our foundation of our trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
You know, sometimes Chris and I disagree. And I'm going to tell you, today is not one of those days. I think he's right. You guys sound good today. So I wanted to highlight a few things that are happening over the next several weeks and even today. There's one announcement that is not in your bulletin today. One of the things we found as a church is that we're actually good at drama and video, and we are hosting our second annual WeGo Mission Teen Conference here at Glen Arbor for our region of churches on July 7th through the 10th. And we want to do a promotional video for that to kind of let the other churches know this teen-focused conference. It was a great time last year, but we want to, you know, we're so video-related and have the kids watch that. So there's a meeting at 11:45 today, library?
Yes.
Or in the library over here for the parents and the kids or just the parents?
Adults and parents of kids.
Adults and parents of kids, so who can be in there. So if you have some children who want to be involved in that, 11:45 today in the library. A few other announcements. The decor team meeting, I'm going to move that to a different day. If you're interested in decor, we're going to move ahead with some other changes in the building. And so let me know. I'll probably do that next week to not interfere with the other meeting. A week from today, we're going to start our new ministry visits. If you can plan on helping us out, new move-in. Ministry, which is people who move into the neighborhood. We're going to give them a gift and just let them know about our Sunday morning service and other ministries. Prayer and core team meeting on May 7th. And the last, on May 21st, if you can help us out at Blooming Fest. If you're not familiar with that, it's a festival the town does. They close Main Street, and we have a booth there, and you get to meet a lot of people, and just because it's everyone walking by. And so if you can plan on being there for an hour or two, I'll have a sign-up sheet probably in 2 weeks. If you can keep that open, it's only from 9 to 3, and May 21st. So that is it for our Sunday morning announcements. Thank you for your attention. This is the time in our service where we have the offering, and this is a time where we honor God and put God first in our finances. So the ushers are going to come forward. And those of you in Sunday school and Sunday school teachers can go to your respective Sunday school rooms. Thank you. Thank you.
In my lifetime, I have experienced the rule of two totalitarian regimes. One was the German Nazis, and the second was the Russian Communists. The Word of God says 366 times, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." So we weren't afraid. After 40 years of communism here, the fact that many believers left the country, the Czech Republic has been called the most atheist place in Europe. It breaks my heart. My name is Ludmila Harirova. I'm 82 years old. I have 7 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. My husband went to heaven in 2002. The Lord Jesus told me now he is my husband and he wants to continue to use me. He wants me to be his representative, his ambassador. Next to the door of my house, there is a bronze sign that says, "The Embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven." My home is an extension of Christ's kingdom. It's a place where people can come and look for help if they're in trouble or have a need. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the atmosphere I want here at the embassy. The visitors that I get, some of them have called ahead to let me know they're coming, and some just come. The ones that haven't called are usually the best ones because I'm not prepared for them. Everything that happens is dependent on the Lord. Today, a dear friend came by. She's a widow, and her family really are struggling financially. Whenever people enter this house, I just lay everything else aside and spend time with them. I have learned to recognize the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and give Him room to use me. The Holy Spirit likes to take control. Often I listen to myself and I'll say things I wouldn't even think about. There is no problem to deal with the issues people bring when they come here because the Holy Spirit is here. It's an honor for me to be an instrument of God's love and His wisdom every day. We often don't realize that all believers are called to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are all ambassadors. The Lord Jesus didn't choose to do it any other way. He simply entrusted us.
I'm sure none of you thought we would talk about the Czech Republic or Slovakia today. I didn't know that the embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven was in Slovakia, particularly a suburb of Slovakia. until I saw this. And it's in the home of a widow, and I worked on this very hard to pronounce it correctly. Ludmila is the way you would pronounce her name. Why are we inspired by this? She seems pretty plain, like someone you would see walking down the street. But she's also determined. She talks matter-of-factly and is transparent and courageous, committed and authentic. She looks frail and alone and ordinary. Those might be the impressions that you get. And we see ordinary people used by God in other examples in Scripture, and some have been shared before. And specifically, Peter and John, and this is one of the verses that's going to be, I want to look at a little bit in relation to what Ludmila shared with us today. And this is in Acts 4:13, and they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I tell you, this looks like Ludmila to me. Just an old lady down the street in Slovakia doing extraordinary things. Her heart really shows through, at least it did to me. I chose this woman's words as the entire basis for my teaching today because it affected me so much. No, astonished me in this way. She looked ordinary, but I knew she was with Jesus. I recognize whom I have believed in her. I recognize the fingerprint of my Lord in the actions through her and what she said. Her words are spoken from years of following the Lord and being open to the Holy Spirit and used by Him very clearly. How then can we be of this kind of ambassador and make our own kingdom embassy of the kingdom of heaven in our own hearts or in our own homes? How can we do that? How can we use by the Holy Spirit the way she was used in that example? And what I want to talk about is really just three areas in this, and they may sound odd. Why are we going in this way? Why aren't we just talking about being, you know, open or doing all sorts of spiritual things? But I think it also is really looking at what's really in our heart. What's in here? Where do we start with this? And based on Ludmila's testimony and Scripture, let's look at how we can allow ourselves to be aligned to be used by the Holy Spirit so that the famous and important and religious people of this world will say to you, these are ordinary people, but I recognize that Jesus is with them. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that would be said of us, that we stand before kings and say, are you speaking for the word, your God? Are you speaking for Jesus? Do you represent Him? What do you have that I don't have? So Paul went through this work. Many others that have stood before many. And because day by day, they look to you. And I ask that you'd show us how to day by day look to you, even now, in your name. Amen. When you think of the word ordinary, and Mike and Dean and Chris all talked about this, what is the ordinary? And we're going to talk a little bit about what is that word mean and so on. So when you think of the word ordinary, what do you think of? Some words. Plain. Average. Okay. Vanilla. Boring. What was that? Not old school? Not noticeable. Thank you. I'm sorry. Not noticeable. Any others? I have a list here. Normal. Good. I had unimportant, usual, standard, comfortable, typical. So some of those aren't necessarily, there's both negative connotations and some are positive. Right? Well, why is that? We desire to do special things, I think. I think we want to be like Ludmilla in some ways. We want to be able to say, here is the embassy of the kingdom of God in my home. Here's how I've done special things for the Lord. Here's all the things that I want to be used in. We want to do those special things and be praised and loved and adored. But we don't want to rock our boat very much. Well, why is that? Well, we desire to do, we really like to play both sides of ordinary, I think. At least I'm talking about the way I feel about it sometimes. Famous people become famous and then do what, typically, once they become famous? What? They retreat. Right, wish they weren't. When they need more praise, they come out and they end up in the tabloids. Right? And we all kind of ride this edge a little bit too. Right? We like praise to a point, but then feel uncomfortable with it. You know? Have you ever, like, been, hey, look at you, you know, Greg Girard, you're so awesome. Everyone look at Greg Girard. Okay. Yeah, he's so great. Now he's going, stop looking at me. Stop looking at me. Don't look at me. I'm just a normal person, ordinary. Please don't look at me. Right? I'm sorry I used you in that way. But we all feel that. If I had done that to any of you, we'd probably feel the same, right? Is we like it to a point, and then it gets really weird. You know, I don't want that much attention. So, because we know what that means. It's like, well, now I have to be everything for everyone. It's like a bride at a wedding. You are the show all day. And that's great, but you wouldn't want that every day. So what's the first edge of these two things that I was talking about? Well, I'd say the first one is fame. We like to be praised. And to escape to speciality. We want to be put on a pedestal. We kind of like being up there. We like to be in the show. We want to be the main character. And that's kind of that's getting away from ordinary, is our desire to have purpose. We want to have purpose. We want to be cool. We want all these things. We want people to like us. We want all that. That makes sense. God makes us to want to have goals and have a purpose. It makes total sense and gives us a desire for that. Both Christendom and the world offer many venues for this. There's a way for you to become famous. There's a way for you to, you know, be a star or whatever you're going to be. It is attractive, and we're told we can be anything we want just by putting our mind to it. And so we do. But it's a trap, right? And the goal becomes an idol, and we become our own worst enemy, right? And we see that happen to many people. We pursue a purpose with great effort, but then we start forgetting about our Lord. We forget who made us and what we were designed for and what we're supposed to be doing. And we pursue the trappings of celebrity, right? Rather than the robe of our true standing with our God. With Ludmilla, I don't see her as going, look at me, what a great celebrity I am. You know, I'm on YouTube. I just don't feel that from her. And we see verses that kind of watch us, ask us to not do that. It says, do not be conformed to this world. This is Romans 12:2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So what is this conform to this world? That is using your God-given gifts and talent to promote yourself. That's what it really is. It's all about me. Yes, I'm spiritual. Yes, I'm good. Yes, I'm all these things. But look at me. And then the world's version is just like without God at all. It's just look at me. Look what I can do. You cannot be an ambassador if you only represent yourself to the world. Period. You're not an ambassador anymore. You are a self-promoter. If you want to represent Jesus, you will have to put yourself aside. Ludmilla's example is so matter-of-fact. I just love it. Is she ordinary? Is she ordinary? Sort of. Sort of. I would say, no. She looks ordinary, but she's not. Is she famous? No. Is she special? Yes. Not because she is on YouTube, but because she is trusting him and putting him before her own needs to be famous and popular. I'm sure that she didn't go to some production company and say, look at me, you know, like some sort of self-promotion. I just don't see that at all. She is proving what the will of God is through her life. What's this other another part of this is that, and it's also in Romans 7:2-7, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's what Ludmilla's hope is. That's what our hope is. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Ambition is not wrong. Like money, it depends on what you spend it on, right? So if you are ambitious for God and seek his glory and his honor every day, that is perseverance. If you are ambitious for yourself, then you will go up against the ever-decaying and fickle standard, which so quickly ever fades away. I want to be famous in heaven, not here. We were never designed for fame or glory in our in and of ourselves. We just weren't designed for it, and you can see that in what happens to people that have it. That is why it feels so weird, I think. I think that's why. Is Ludmilla seeking her own glory? No. How do we know? Because by the world standard, she is ordinary. Very ordinary. By the Lord's standard, she is a valiant warrior for his kingdom. And we have our own Lord's example in that. In Philippians 2:6, Jesus, who, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He became ordinary to be extraordinary. What's the second part? Well, you can retreat. You just stay in, because of fear, you escape to the comfort of ordinary. And the danger in anything endeavorous is that it is costly and uncomfortable, right? You want to be a great warrior for God? You will have to get out and engage with people. Oh, people are such a pain, though. Moses wanted God to pick someone else, right? He was happy with his family and his animals and grilling on Saturday night. You know, why leave all that? Why change the ordinary? You know, I've already been a prince, or I've already been in that, and I didn't want that, so I don't want to go back to that. That's a mess. I don't want to be in that anymore. Well, God tells us to go anyway. He says, go. Crud. Missions would be great if it didn't have to deal with people, I think. Really. Why? Because people are uncomfortable. They're a pain. They're really tough to deal with. They yell and they cry and they make messes and are very messy. Why bother of that? Why do all that? Because he did. He cleaned up our mess. That's why we're doing it. Let's look at this verse here. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. In any race, like next weekend is the West Chicago 5K, and I'll be in that. And so that's a race. To run that race, you have to train some. You know, I've been training, and one of my worries has been I've been pretty sick with some of this medication I've been messing with, and so I haven't been able to run. So my concern is, like, I'm not going to be ready for this race. If you don't train, you're not going to be ready for races. You won't be able to, when it gets hard, you won't be ready. If you stick just with ordinary thing, your ordinary life, you won't be ready when the extraordinary comes. And that's the daily training with the Lord. And this is the second part. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So it's easy to escape to the ordinary. Ordinary is safe. And now we can be ordinary at the speed of light, right? We can download anything we want whenever we want it. We want to get out there and believe in God, but it's hard. So we retreat to the ordinary and mundane because it's safe. In Ludmilla's example, she lived through, I really love this line that she said this, she lived through two occupied regimes, the Nazi regime and the socialist communism of the Soviet Union, right? Slovakia is one of the most politically unstable countries in Europe, right? And she said that it was called one of the most, if not the most, atheistic country in the world or in Europe. But I love what she said. But Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." So we weren't. And it's so matter of fact. You know, I was almost was killed several times. It just so, but we weren't afraid. All right, man, that's bravery to me. We are afraid what will happen, what people will think, where we're going, but most of all, to give it all up for him, because if we do, someone will notice, like the Pharisees did, and that might bring judgment or persecution or attention that's unwanted. And then we'll have to deal with that. That will draw both the welcome and unwelcome attention. That is what happens if you leave the ordinary. If you follow Christ, that what becomes ordinary will be extraordinary to others. Let me say it again. If you follow Christ, really follow Christ, what becomes ordinary will become extraordinary to others. Even miracles will seem ordinary. And I think I've seen this in my own life. Is I now, just even with praying with people, seen some extraordinary changes in people's lives. And now it's expected. But to the outside, it would seem really, really extraordinary. In Acts 19:11, I like this, the word extraordinary is used with miracles. So aren't miracles extraordinary enough? God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them. The evil spirits went out. It will become commonplace. Do you know what clergy who worked with hardened criminals in prison used to be called? This was interesting when I looked up this word. Ordinaries. What an interesting word. All right, here come the ordinaries. Look out. You know, we wouldn't think of that way. They were clergy that worked with pretty rough people. Well, where do we want to be? Well, I think in a balance between these two extremes. And you would say, well, Greg, you're just putting us back in the ordinary, right? I don't want to be ordinary, you know, because we just said that was boring and stupid and we don't want to be there. But let me clarify that. Where do you want to be? In balance between the two, and that happens when we bring Christ into our ordinary world and let him transform it. On the outside, Ludmilla is an old widow in the suburbs of Slovakia, right? Woohoo! Yeah, you might think, if you said that to anybody, you'd say, boy, what a loser. Person to be pitied by the world standard. And God's view, and you see it too, you see it. If you're his child, she's a force to be reckoned with, I think. She's not seeking her own glory, but is a representative of his kingdom, nor is she afraid of the world or retreating from it. She takes everyone, even if they don't call. I thought that was interesting. Then she says, well, I'm just not prepared, and then the Holy Spirit does great, even better things. You know, whatever. The Lord's The Lord can do what He wants. She's not seeking her own glory, but is a representative of His kingdom, nor is she afraid of the world or retreating from it. We are neither to seek fame, nor are to be fearful of it. What will change is our definition of ordinary. So God kind of takes us what we think is ordinary and moves it into a different place. And that is uncomfortable. It will become extraordinary transformations of people's lives right before our eyes until it's an everyday occurrence. Jesus redefines ordinary as our everyday service to Him as an extraordinary shining light to this world. That's what it is. We see that from His own lips. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is a quote I did write it down. I said that already. All right, I did not put it on the PowerPoint, I'm sorry. But I'll just quote it to you. In the battleground for souls, being special is not about leaving what is ordinary behind. It is choosing to have Jesus come and redefine what is ordinary for you. Thus, in balance between fame and fear. Then your ordinary life of service for Him appears as an extraordinary lighthouse of His glory to the world. You guys understand that? I'm going to say it again. In the battleground for souls, being special is not about leaving what is ordinary behind. It is choosing to have Jesus come and redefine what is ordinary for you. Thus, you are still in balance between fame and fear, and then your ordinary life of service for Him appears as an extraordinary lighthouse of the glory to this world. Well, how do we do that? How do we prepare the embassy of our heart? As she said, the embassy of the kingdom of God was in her home. It's really in her heart. So how do we get to that spot? Being an ambassador of Christ every day. If this is spiritual work, then it takes spiritual preparation every day, just like you would prepare for a race. You would run. You probably, if you're going to be in a race that is a running race, you probably need to run. I was at the Glen Ellen's Beat Skating Committee, and there were Olympians, former Olympians. They probably skated a lot, right? So they were pretty good. If this is a spiritual work, then it takes spiritual preparation. It's not going to be by our own ability. It's not going to be by just going to a lot of meetings. It's got to be the daily walk with you and Jesus fighting it out every day. It's got to be at your personal level. So the first thing I would say is know who you report to. And this is one of my favorite verses. I quote it all the time because it's just very personal to me. And this is 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. I really like that. I know whom I have believed. And it just doesn't mean I know about Him. I know Him. And how can we come to know Him? Well, like anyone else, like any other person, you would listen and you would talk to them. You would hang out with them. You go to the battleground on your knees for people. If you really care, then you care about what He cared about, and that you will do your daily walk as a soldier for people. And we've heard that term before. This is also in 2 Timothy. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So don't get entangled in the ordinary things of everyday life. Let Jesus transform where that ordinary appears. So we're so easily distracted, so easily taken over by shiny, worthless things. And I'm included in that. How do I know that? If I mention something from my quiet time, the reaction is, oh, that's nice. It might be. If I mention the latest hot movie, eyes light up and chatter begins over all the unimportant details of that. If this church is to grow, we can't do it without all the soldiers being ready, willing and able and connected to the general, not just following some leader. We cannot be ambassadors of someone we sort of like from afar. We need to get to know him. And how do we do that? First thing is prayer. Rejoice always. This is actually a song we used to sing. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what is his will? Many people ask me, and I've sat in counseling sessions, is if only God would tell me what he wants me to do. He's told you what he wants you to do. You just don't want to do it. He wants you to rejoice always. This is his will, that you rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Do that. Are you doing those things? No, but what does God want me to do? I've told you. Start with, and when I pray, what that says is, let's focus on what I can do to fix this on my own. If we say, no, I don't want to do that, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do about my problem that he should have fixed anyway? God is a counselor, but not a fixer. That's what that's saying. It's about who do we trust for control. Ludmilla prays for people, with people, and with power. We witness that. Why? Well, there's nothing better to do when you get old, you know. Might as well sit around and pray and do religious things because, you know, you really kind of ended things. Might as well get good with God, you know. I don't feel that at all from her. No, because she knows whom she has believed all her life. She has, when God said, Jesus said, don't be afraid. We weren't. We just weren't. Because she knew who she believed and knows who she needs him to do his work. So prayer, getting prayer with him and read his word. I'm going to read a Faith Walkers article. It's by Tom Brown. He said some of this at the last Faith Walkers, but I thought it was very apropos. He said, he starts off with this verse, he who strains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. This is from Proverbs 17:27. This is Tom Brown speaking. When I was a newly married man, raising my voice in conflict with my wife, this verse exposed me as an impatient fool and taught me wisdom and self-control, made me a better husband. I am a completely different person, taking what's ordinary and making it extraordinary. I'm a completely different person than I was 19 years ago when I made the decision to let the Bible be my authority. That decision has saved my life. I was born into a family of addicts and a history of abuse, divorce, and pain. If I had not hitched my life to something bigger than myself, if I had been left to my emotions and opinions, I don't know where I'd be right now. This humanistic culture, which is so offended by the idea of hell, would have taught me to follow my passions and then would have ruined me. Don't hold anything back, Tom. Yielding to this book has expanded my horizons far beyond that of my father and his father before him. Following this book has taken me all over the country and on adventures around the world. It has given me insights and experiences that I never have imagined as a young man. He had an ordinary life. Abusive, typical, loser, never going to make it. Trash him. Started following the Lord and it saved his life. Turned him from the ordinary into the extraordinary. This book means so much to me, he says. The Bible inspires and motivates me to a greater life. It gives me purpose and direction, a cause to live and die for, to give me wisdom and lights my path. It anchors my soul and keeps me steady through storms and winds. It keeps me on a path of purity and righteousness. It gives me a peace and a hope. It gives me confidence. It heals and soothes my heart. It gives me strength and satisfaction to my hungry soul. It shows me God. Shows me whom I believed. I saw Ludmilla reading her Bible. I don't know. She could do day in and day out listening to people's problems and counseling them without his wisdom and love. I certainly couldn't do it. People come to her. Why? Why do they come to this old lady in the middle of Slovakia? Because she's some wise old lady on the top of a mountaintop? She has the wisdom of the ages at her tongue because of who she knows. We know. She cannot represent God without knowing what he has said and what he's about. Neither can you. How do you expect to do the same? Through your own power? I tried that. It don't work. As I've been talking to some of you about this topic, I'm saddened to say that we are not all engaged in the Word of God daily. And in fact, not at all, but have plenty of time to maybe binge watch Game of Thrones. So that is, if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, let's really maybe let's rechange what the ordinary is for us. Here's a verse for you, 2 Peter 1:19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. You have at your fingertips the Word of God. Most people in the world do not. You have it on your electronically. It's available to you. Most people do not. So let it rise in your heart. Use this opportunity that you've been given. I would recommend you do more than just work on it, or he will work on you in his way. And I would rather not fall into the hands of the living God. Let's just do what he asked us to do. He promised he would. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He disciplines those whom he loves. So when we're disciplined, we can know we're feeling God's love. Finally, fellowship is another thing. This is work. We think, oh, it does not need, we don't need it. We don't need this to really know Jesus, but we do. Some say, hey, I get along with my secular friends better than my church friends. Well, what direction are you going then? What the world likes to talk about, Netflix too. That's nice and safe and ordinary and uncommitted topic. Who will be there when you're down? Who will go the extra mile? Who will tell you you're wrong to your face? Well, those committed to you. Those are the unpleasant battle trenches that you experience with real friends, brothers and sisters. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Daily walk and character. And I've shared this many, many times before. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses of all sins. If we're with him, we're having trouble with Christians. They are not cool like I am, you know. Maybe you don't see a problem with some swearing or some crass talk. Maybe you don't see a problem with what you look at on your phone or your computer or your TV. I use the pure power of my personality and awesomeness to affect people. For God, you know, in some minor way, in my own way, but no one understands that. We are really children of two worlds. We belong in, we're in both, and it's a fine line we walk. And we walk in a high standard of moral character, not just at church, not just, but at school, at work, at home, wherever we're at, so that we are not, they will recognize this is an extraordinary person. They're not ordinary because of who lives inside them. What makes you different then? Yourself or the Savior who lives in you? How is that positively leading people to Christ? And this is the last section I wanted to go through quickly. Let's say you've done all that. Now, I still, the Lord maybe not using me, or how does he, I just can't, I'm like Moses. I don't want to leave all that stuff. I don't want to go. I like this question. Do you really want to be used by him through the Holy Spirit? Through his Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask it again. Do you really want to be used by him through his Holy Spirit? I'll ask it again. You sure that you want? You sure you want to be used by him through his Holy Spirit? It will cost you everything. But then you will get everything. You will lose your life, and then you will find it. That's really our message today. Come and die that you can find your life. That's not very popular. Trust in Him with all your heart. I saw Ludmilla doing that. This is Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Let go of your agendas, your control. This is really hard for me. Yes, even your dreams. Let them go and let Him give them back to you better and complete. Listen with all your heart. And this is just the verse that talks about sitting at His feet. We've shared this before. Listen to Him through prayer and His Word. Get before Him, acknowledging He is life. Let go of yours. This is hard. I acknowledge this is hard. But this is where life is. Let go of yours. Give all your heart. That's what the Lord is looking for. What does the Lord want me to do? He wants your heart. That's the embassy of the kingdom of heaven, is in your heart. Let go of your emotions and give them to Him. Tell Him all that is in there. He knows anyway. Be willing to for anything. Be ready for anything. Be willing to go anywhere inside and out. All that you are His anyway. Then your heart will be the embassy of the kingdom of God. And I apologize, I went a little bit longer. This is what I want to just leave you with this. The question to ask yourself, will people take note that we have been with Jesus? Will they know the way they knew with these guys? They say, these are ordinary people, but there's something extraordinary about them. I bet you they've been with Jesus. Let's get them. I would be honored by that. And to say, they're ambassadors or soldiers for Christ. And I say that about you even now. Let's pray, and then we'll have the music team come up. Lord, thank you so much I pray that we would get to know you better. We would pray and get into our Bible. You would take us and take us from the ordinary to where you would have us go so that it looks extraordinary to others. And I pray that you would use us, Holy Spirit, that you would use us each individually every day, that we would set aside our wants and desires for your wants and desires. That's a tough thing, Lord. And I acknowledge that. That is hard. But I ask that you'd help me to be trained by it every day. And I pray that each one of us would be trained by it every day. In your name we pray. Amen.